Padraig Shaler was like thousands of other college graduates last summer. 23 years old, he was on a J1 visa in America, considering what to do next and where his Trinity degree might take him. But while cycling to work in a cafe in Cape Cod, he was hit by a truck and knocked unconscious, and he has been in a coma ever since. Now, this weekend, around 50 young swimmers will take part in a Swim for Padraig fundraising effort because Padraig is seriously ill and remains in treatment in Germany. I'm joined from there by his father, Reinhard. Good morning to you, Reinhard.
Good morning, Sean.
Now, first of all, as I understand it, Padraig remains in a coma but is showing some signs of improvement. We'll come back to that, but tell me first of all, what happened that day back in Cape Cod and how you came to hear about it yourself?
Yeah, it was a very very strange situation, obviously, you know, and it's something that you would never expect. And looking back now, it still seems like a very bad nightmare. And it's Padraig was, as you said, cycling to work. We knew that he was there. We had talked to him over Facebook. My wife had talked to him over Facebook the previous night. So we thought everything was fine. And then my wife got a phone call from our daughter in Germany. She studied there at the time, and she said that she had seen something on Facebook that Padraig had an accident, and there was a telephone number, and should they check it out? And they thought first that, you know, maybe that was a prank, you know, one of those that you have heard on the internet. And then they decide, well, we ring it anyway, just to be on the safe side. And they rang that number and got through to the owner of the cafe, the hotel that Padraig worked. And he had almost arrived there, and the lady told my wife that he had a bad accident and put her onto a police officer who told her then that that he had that accident, that he was in a very bad state, and that they had brought him to Cape Cod Hospital. I was at the time in China, so my wife rang me and was working there, and we both went to Cape Cod as quickly as we could and joined him there.
How serious were his injuries?
Very serious. They brought him to the hospital and had to operate. They operated on him within an hour, which was really probably a lifesaver. They were not very positive about the outcome. They asked a friend that was there with him, would he call us to talk to us about organ donations? And he didn't, luckily. So they removed part of his skull to relieve the pressure on the brain, and he, you know, he was touch and go for a few days, and even when, you know, when we were there with him for about 2.5 weeks, I mean, all the time the consultants were not very, you know, they were not very positive about it. I mean, they were very worried about him, and but they agreed then that he was, you know, that he was able to travel, and so we organized an air ambulance to bring him back to Dublin after
and
about 2.5 weeks.
Then he was in a hospital in Cape Cod for 2.5 weeks. Then he came back to Beaumont where he was for what, about 4 months?
Yeah, about 4 months. He was in Beaumont. So when he arrived there, he was still, you know, he was put into the ICU, the intensive care unit there for a while just to stabilize him. And when he was, you know, when he was able to breathe without a respirator, he was brought up to a ward that is kind of an intermediate care unit, high dependency ward, and he was there for about 4 months.
What kind of progress did he make?
In Cape Cod, virtually nothing, and then, you know, then first in Beaumont, very little. And then he showed kind of signs that we saw and that were, you know, very hard to, you know, sometimes we thought, well, maybe it's just something that is wishful thinking. And but all that got better. And, you know, we thought, well, you know, what can we do to help him? And what is it that you do in a situation like that? Because we saw him there. There were rehab consultants coming in from the National Rehabilitation Hospital, the NRH, in Dunleary. And they visited, you know, once a week and looked at him. And we started to talk to them. And then we started to make our own inquiries, and we discovered that, you know, even with patients in, you know, in a coma or in a, you know, a state of minimal consciousness, you know, they need early neurological rehabilitation to support them, and they also need a very targeted and very specialized program of therapy, you know, different therapies to help them to maintain their, you know, physical, their body functions, and then also to support their level of awareness. And when we talked then to the NIH consultants about that, they said, well, there was a long waiting list, and first it was 4 months, and then it was 9 months, and that would have been kind of almost a year after the accident he would have been admitted there. And we looked around and we saw that, Beaumont is a good place for surgery probably, but it's an acute hospital and it's not the right setting for long term. We went out and tried to get some advice from consultants in the UK and in Germany, and they advised us that he needed this immediately. So we looked around and trying to find a suitable program for him.
So you've ended up in Hamburg. How long have you been there, and how is the treatment working out?
It was really amazing. When we found the hospital, we talked to the consultants, and within 2 weeks he was here. The waiting time was basically just to make the arrangements and to get the air ambulance from Dublin to Hamburg, and it was there immediately. And the main difference really is that there are therapists that are well trained. There is nursing staff that is well trained to treat with patients that are there for not just a few days after an operation, but for probably some cases for a few months. And longer, and he's giving the time and the care and the space that he needs to recover. He's not in a ward with six people where it's loud and where there's always something going on. There's somebody being operated on and there's an emergency, and there's just lots of activity. He's there in a room. He should be in a room with somebody else, but he has a room by himself because he's in isolation.
Reinhard, is he showing any signs of progress?
He is, and since he got here, he got visibly better, and everybody agrees that he got better. It's terribly slow, and there are very tiny steps. But when you tell him to squeeze your hand, he does that. Yesterday we did this with his foot, and he can push the foot against his toes against our hand, and so he, it's not only that he is moving parts of his body now, but he also understands that we ask him to do something, and then he processes that, and then he does it. And that's in his state, it's a very complex thing to happen, and it's very, very encouraging. And the doctors here say that as long as there is progress with a young person like that, there is really they can do miracles, and they're very, very hopeful. And they give us they haven't told us when this program here is going to end. I guess it will end because there's limited resources here too. But it's they give support as long as it is needed.
And has he opened his eyes?
He has opened his eyes. He's one eye is better than the other. And he when he was in Beaumont, there was no movement of the pupils. They are now moving. They're contracting when you shine a light on them. And we even had the. Even had the well, we believe that he's following sounds, and when we show him pictures. Of course, you don't know because he can't talk.
Reinhard, what have they been able to tell you? I presume they can draw conclusions from scans and other form of examinations about the extent of his brain injuries.
Well, it's what they've told us is that it is a severe brain injury, but it's not. Something that would prevent him from getting better. And what they're saying is that by looking at scans and by looking at all the kind of the tests that they can do, they can just see what the tests tell them. But they say that the brain is an amazing organ, and it can kind of rewire itself. And even if there are damaged areas, and especially in a young person, they can manage to kind of reconfigure the brain, so to speak, and take over from the bad.
Yeah. If he's moving his limbs, that would suggest that there's no permanent paralysis or anything like that of his body.
Well, we hope there isn't. The movement is the problem with the movement, I guess, is the coordination between the limbs and the brain and the nerves. So that all that is getting through, and we hope that all this is going to get better over time, And we are working on it. And what we want to do is to give him, you know, the best possible support that we can give him.
What about the expense of all this, Reinhard? Who's actually paying for the treatment there in Germany?
Yeah, that was one of our, you know, biggest nightmares. We were talking to an NIH consultant because we thought that, you know, if the treatment that somebody needs is not available in Ireland, that Irish citizens have the right to get that treatment abroad. And we were told by that consultant not to bother, and she had tried that before, and it would just be a waste of time to apply for it. So we didn't. We went to a bank instead and got approval for remortgaging of our house. And then I went to Germany a number of times to find a clinic and to talk to the doctors and to also sort out maybe the cost. And if you have to pay for it yourself, it is very expensive. Well, it's very expensive in any case. So what I found out is that Borg is Irish, but he's also has German nationality. So basically, when the German moves back to Germany, the health insurance here has to insure him. So we managed to get an insurance, German health insurance for him, which is now covering the hospital costs and the treatment costs.
That clearly is
very lucky. Yeah.
Is something that at least it lifts that burden on the family, but it must have caused a total upheaval in your whole family life.
Completely. My wife and I, we're still working in Ireland, and we're commuting back and forth. You know, we have two other daughters that are in Ireland. We are here because Boric moved to Germany and he's getting the treatment here. But it was never our intention to split our family into different parts and to attention to us. And we pleaded with them, and eventually they paid for Boric's flight back home ex gratia. So.
And then the swim for Boric this weekend. What's happening?
Well, this is an absolutely brilliant example of, you know, how people, you know, when the system fails, you know, when the insurance system and the health system all fail, you know, how people rally together and help each other out. And this is, you know, Park was really involved in the Irish language community, and he really loves Ireland, you know, the Irish language, and he was very, very much involved in Trinity, in that whole community. And his friends there, from Conrad na Gaeilge and from the Irish language community, they got together and organized a swim, Snow Fork, and they swim around Ireland over 2 days, off every coast, off every county that has a coast. That's 17 altogether. So they do 17 swims over the 2 days, and it's about 50 people that are doing this, and it's an absolutely incredible event. I mean, I think they're all mad because who would want to swim in the ocean in April? But they're doing it because they really want to, you know, support Boric and show him that they're with him.
It sounds like Boric is blessed not just with a good family, but with a lot of good friends. Look, our very best wishes to him and to you, Reinhard. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. That's Reinhard Schaller on the line there from Hamburg. Before we hear about sport, just one small detail that I omitted in the conversation or after the conversation with Reinhard Schaller, whose son Boric is recovering from that brain injury. He's in hospital in Hamburg in Germany, and there's a Swim for Boric event tomorrow. There's a website with information where you can find out more and also make donations. It's called caringforpodrig.org, and the Boric is spelled P-A-D-R-A-I-G.